This is a HeadGum Original.
Frou frou beep beep, welcome to the pit wall.
Woo.
We're back.
We're so back.
Let's go.
Best day of my life. What a thrill.
Yeah, holy smokes, huh? Australia, mate.
Indeed. Very much indeed.
Who would have thought we'd be here today? Excited to talk about a race because you know what? Because Max Verstappen didn't finish it.
He sure didn't. Right before this race, I saw a tweet that was, like, truly, like, all it was, like, praying for a Max DNF this week, and I liked it, and I've never been more happy it came true.
Wow. I saw videos from, like, people watching the race.
Yeah.
In bars.
Oh, I saw at the track, but not at bars.
Oh, I've seen at the track. Everywhere. Everyone everywhere. Uproarious applause because the best driver in the world, his car broke.
It was a really beautiful moment.
That in itself, I think, really paints a picture of the current state of Formula One.
Yeah.
We're just dying for something to happen. And you know what? I thought it was great. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I had a great time watching this race.
Did you watch it live?
I did not. I had plans. I was out and about.
Did you? You saw Singing in the Rain.
I did see Singing in the Rain. I saw Singing in the Rain.
We have to talk about it.
We're in town. You must have seen this on my letterbox, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you also said you were saying it, but I don't know what date.
Yes. I say a lot of things that I forget that I said most of the time on this podcast.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so Singing in the Rain. It was good. Musicals aren't usually my thing. And there were stretches of the movie where I was like, there's too many songs here.
Beautiful, like, Girls, for sure.
Beautiful Girls, that couldn't believe that song.
Yeah, it's nuts.
They're singing the song, and it's like, okay, all right, it's a beautiful girl. And then it's like gets to the part where it's like, and you're over 16. And I was like, what? And then everyone in the crowd reacted like, hold on, what's this song about? And then he's like, and I'm going to marry you. And let's take a look at all of these clothes.
It's definitely my least favorite part of that movie, but I've come to really...
It was one of my favorite parts.
I've come, like, full circle that I love it, because it's so insane.
It was insane, and it made me think, like, well, what else could be in this? What else are they going to sing about? Because this is... What does this have to do with anything? and, yeah, so there were, like, stretches where I'm like, okay, this has to be a song? I think this could have been, like, two lines of dialogue, and we could have, like, moved a plot forward or something.
What song did that to you?
Well, I couldn't really tell you. It was after the Beautiful Girls song, and then before the beautiful dance sequence, my favorite of the whole movie.
Interesting.
And, which is them, like, kind of doing ballet with the scarf that's getting longer and longer. And the wind's blowing
that
it
people,
around.
That people were like, look at the comparison between I'm Just Ken, the Barbie number, and this scene in Singing in the Rain. I was like, you fucking loser. You're idiots. The only thing that's the same is a vast blue and pink space.
Yeah.
That's it.
I didn't draw those comparisons. I like the I'm just Ken part of the, it's probably my favorite part of the Barbie movie.
I agree. Not worth making the comparison. Even if Greta Gerwig was like, yeah, I was inspired by Singing in the Rain.
A little bit of the visuals.
Don't put those photos side by side. It's not correct. Don't show me them on the ladder and then all of the Kens.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, they, everyone at the screening was like clapping after every single song or dance number.
That I don't like, but
I didn't like that either. And that was the only one that they didn't.
Interesting. And to me, yeah, because that's not
to
like
me,
a song.
I thought it was so beautiful, the dance, that everyone was like, I can't even bring myself to break this silence in the theater by clapping for this.
Yeah.
That has to be the only reason why. But yeah, Singing in the Rain, I had an all right time. Hey, the Singing in the Rain song is pretty good.
Pretty good.
I can't believe how much water they dumped on that guy. What was his name again? Famous actor?
Gene Kelly, also director of the movie.
Oh, yes.
Co-director. I think it was Milk. I think they were dropping Milk on him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
To have it show up in the scene. I could be wrong, but someone told me that one time, and I just kind of like blindly believed it.
Okay, sure. They're pouring... hundreds of gallons of milk.
Or oh no, it does say it was a myth. It says another myth is that the rain was mixed with milk, but it wasn't true. So that kind of ruins everything for me.
It didn't look like milk to me.
It kind of ruins everything for me.
It looked
make them laugh.
Just
do you like make them laugh?
Make them laugh, sure.
Moses supposes.
I already forgot what that is.
It's the like when they're doing tongue twisters with that guy that they hate, and then they
Yeah.
Great scene.
I think that was one of the songs where I was like, okay, this is a song.
You're crazy. It's one of the best tap numbers of all time.
This is why I don't go to musicals.
But Casey, you're complaining about songs in musicals not forwarding the plot. That is what they are supposed to do. They're supposed to forward the plot of
the story. They're supposed to.
Yeah. I also.
Beautiful Girls didn't progress the plot. It was honestly
they
a showstopper.
Yeah.
Because everyone had to go, what is this?
I know.
We have to stop the show. What is this?
Look, I'm just saying in theater, most songs are supposed to advance the plot. That is their purpose. There's some people don't do that. You got some guys that are like, and I'm going to pull a 180 and do something really random for this song, but if you say you don't like musicals because of that,
not because of I'm so used to the rhythms of a non-musical movie that when we slow down to take several minutes essentially to like do a song and dance for something that could just be a line of dialogue is when I'm like, okay, we're going to take 4 minutes to talk about how she's sad or he's happy.
Sure.
While they sing and dance about it.
Sure. You want every movie to be a tight 90.
I love a tight 90.
Which
I love a tight 90.
And there's also nothing better than a tight 90
Dune
musical.
Part 2 was an hour longer. and also Avatar Way of Water. Those are two movies that I wish were 5 hours long.
I know. Ultimately, no. I wish both of those movies had an intermission like a musical would. that was 3 hours long. I love an intermission. Intermissions are great. I think all movies should have them.
A couple years ago, they brought out like a 70mm IMAX presentation of 2001, A Space Odyssey. And there's an intermission in it. And it was really nice to have like a little break in the middle of the movie to like just listen to some music, look at my phone for a second, and then we're back into the rest of the movie. That's great. I want more intermissions.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe races should have an intermission.
They sometimes do.
Yeah, like a red intentional flag. Yeah.
A safety car.
Yeah.
This race didn't need an intermission. I felt like it was moving along.
It felt very short to me.
At times it felt short. At times it felt long. Like I would look at what lap they were on. I was like, wow, they're only on lap 20 and so much has happened already. This is quite the race. Hey, welcome to the pit wall.
All of that beginning is cut.
I'm your podcast principal, Casey Donahue. I'm joined today by Marika, no nickname, Brownlee. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Australian Grand Prix, which took place last Saturday. And it had, once again, screwed with my internal fantasy clock. And I didn't make any changes, and I can't wait to figure out where I stand at the end of this episode.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good for any of us.
Yeah. Max Verstappen not finishing, the Alpines being the worst cars on the track.
Mm-hmm.
I am cooked.
Yeah, I did change my team, but I could not find a way to have Carlos and Max back together. And that destroyed me this week. So that was fun. I also saw a movie on Saturday night right before the race. So I was I got out of the movie at like 11:30 PM. I was like, oh boy, I'm going to have to open ESPN on the train. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get it. All I could get it open was like the scorecard that kept changing. Mm-hmm. And so it was like watching that like at every stop, and it would be like the first one I was like, you know, Max in the front. I was like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then like two stops before I got home, suddenly Max was nowhere to be seen. It was Carlos in the lead. It was Lando. And I was like, what is happening? And I couldn't get the app to load my entire walk home. I was like, well, great, I'll be able to listen while I'm walking. Another 10 minutes, couldn't do it. And I was like, this is excruciating. I missed all the drama. And then I got, I didn't know about Hamilton. I got home and then I turned on my TV at 12:30-ish, whatever. And then at the bottom, it was like Verstappen, Hamilton out. And I was like, what did they do? Nothing. They didn't do anything.
I was at Singing in the Rain, get out of the movie, go down the street to the bar with my friends. And I'm like, oh, I think the race is just starting. Let me pull up my phone. Let me see what's going on. Maybe I'll be annoying and just have the race on my phone sitting here. I open up ESPN, turn on the race. It's lap 14. I see Carlos is in the lead. The AT&T was like not great, so it wasn't a clear screen, but I could tell Sainz is in the lead, and I'm like, where's Max? Sainz is in the lead, but I could tell it doesn't say Ver under Psy, so where is Max? Is he in the pit? I couldn't really see.
Yeah.
So I turned off the phone. I was like, I can't look at this. Then I go home, and I'm like, all right, I got to watch this race before I go to bed. Watching this race at like 12:30 is when I started.
Same.
And as soon as I go to like start the race, I first open up TikTok, just like muscle memory habit. First thing I see, Carlos Sainz is the winner. I'm like, all right, well, let's enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we get here.
You gotta enjoy the journey.
It was good.
It was good. It was a good journey.
There was drama throughout.
Yeah. Drama throughout the weekend. Logan Sargeant did not start the race.
Man, embarrassing.
It really was.
I would have left Australia.
That's what everyone was saying. I think Max was like, if I were him, I would have gone home.
Yeah. Gone home, never come back.
Yeah, arguably. For those not in the know, Logan Sargeant, the Floridian.
Floridian, yeah.
Couldn't race because Alex Albon had to steal his car.
Alex crashed his own car.
Mm-hmm, and broke it so bad that they were like, well, we only have one car that we can enter in this race. What's our biggest chance of getting a point?
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, it's Alex Albon.
The guy who usually comes in last, or the guy who is fighting for like six.
Yeah. So he had to take the car. Logan couldn't drive.
Logan couldn't drive.
I saw a tweet that was like, Williams, you've devastated this girl that flew all the way to Australia from the U.S. to see her favorite driver, Logan Sargeant, and her at her first race.
What?
I know. But they gave her a tour. She got to meet Logan.
Wow.
So
okay.
happy for her.
Hey, great scam.
Yeah.
I gotta love a scammer scamming their way into the paddock. Lie, cheat, and steal all the way into the Williams garage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna run through the race results real quick. Here we go. First up on our list, we have Mercedes. 0 points. George Russell did not finish. Lewis Hamilton did not finish. Kick Sauber, 0 points. Zhou Guan Yu got 15th. Valtteri Bottas got 14th. Alpine, 0 points. Pierre Gasly got 13th. Esteban Ocon got 16th. Williams, 0 points. Logan Sargeant did not start. Alex Albon got 11th. Oh, and that's...
Yeah, that's surreal.
Couldn't even get a point.
Couldn't even get a point.
After all that. Where was I? I'm seeing a bunch of zeros. Here's a point. Haas, 3 points. Nico Hülkenberg, 9th. Kevin Magnussen, 10th.
Big day.
Wow. Get rid of Gunther. See some results.
I didn't quite get rid of him. Spoiler alert.
Visa Cash App RB Racing F1 team. 6 points. Daniel Ricciardo got 12th. Yuki Tsunoda got 7th. Let's see this note you have here. Unfollowed Daniel, maybe? What is that? Like on Instagram?
Yeah. Apparently, Daniel never followed Yuki, but Yuki unfollowed him this week.
Wow. Next up, Red Bull. Wait, that can't be right. There's still more teams, and I'm saying Red Bull. How many points did they score? Only 10 points.
Wow.
Max Verstappen did not finish. Checo Perez got 5th. Ooh.
Couldn't catch those McLarens and those Ferraris.
Ferrari boys. Next up, Aston Martin. 12 points. Lance Stroll got 6th. Fernando Alonso got 8th.
After a penalty. So Alonso finished higher.
That's right. A penalty that I don't think, I don't know.
It was for George.
George?
I think he was doing something for sure. He like really slowed down weirdly.
I saw the video of him in the car as it was going on. He was talking about how there was something wrong with the car.
Mm. Interesting.
And then, you know, then I see George after the post-race being like, I don't know if he has a problem with me. And it's like listening to Fernando while driving. He's like, you know, there's something wrong with the floor or something like that. Like, I'm losing grip. And so, you know, he's braking earlier.
On the Formula One website for the note about him receiving a penalty, it says Alonso received a drive-through penalty converted to a 20-second time penalty for potentially dangerous driving. Then don't award it if it's potentially.
Yeah. Next up, McLaren. 34 points. Lando Norris got third. Oscar Piastri got fourth.
Woo!
And in first place, maximum points, Ferrari, Carlos Sainz, first place, Charles Leclerc, second place. A 1-2 finish.
With the fastest lap. I forgot
Ferrari
to add.
Ferrari with the fastest lap. And Carlos Sainz, driver of the day.
Huge.
Unbelievable weekend for Ferrari.
Amazing what an appendix can accomplish.
You just lose a little bit of weight, and it'll give you the speed you need.
Or it will become the downfall of many people's careers.
Because next week, Max is going to go get his appendix taken out. So he has that little bit of weight advantage also.
I believe that, but I'm referencing Alex Albon's appendix causing Nyck de Vries to have a job, causing him to lose a job, causing Liam Lawson to get a job, causing Daniel Ricciardo to get a job. And now Daniel Ricciardo might not have a job because it appears he has also been given an ultimatum and Liam Lawson could step in. And I think that's correct. I think it's right, because look at where the fuck he is. Look at where he started.
He is
18th
not doing
place.
Well. And it seems like
lost a time because he was all over the goddamn track during qualifying. I saw it.
Oh, wow.
Yuki can't even stand him.
And that car's not as bad as it was last year. I have a bunch of notes here, and I'll jump ahead to that note here. I have a new pecking order for the midfield.
All right, I love it.
And I think the RB's team is top of the midfield.
Yeah, I mean,
Haas, and I think it could be one or the other. I think Haas is catching them. But the thing is, Yuki is finishing before the Haas cars, getting more points.
Mm-hmm.
But last two races, I like what Haas is doing.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
So I got Arby's, Haas. Then I want to say Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a race to the bottom between Sauber and Alpine.
Yeah.
And I would put Alpine dead last.
Oh, interesting. I think I would put Sauber dead last. But only after this race, I think.
Their pit stops. I don't know. I have a note here. Let me see what I wrote down. Something about...
The
Sauber
corded
slow
wheel
stops.
Nut?
Problem with wheel nuts?
Yeah.
What?
I don't... Yeah, I was also... Because I rewatched the beginning of the race, the part that I missed this morning, and we're talking about that. How is that a problem?
They don't have...
How do you not fix
extra
that?
Wheel nuts in the garage?
I'm looking
what?
This up. Because it's the same problem that...
And on the weekend where Valtteri Bottas reveals himself as one of my favorite actors.
Oh, what did he do? Oh,
an
from
Uber
that
commercial.
That, yeah, right.
for Australia.
Yeah.
And it was great. He was very funny in it. Very Wes Anderson style ad, and he really nailed it. There's this really good bit where he's like anti-bug off or whatever. And then there's a long pause and then it puffs the smoke in his face and he has a very funny cough. He's good. I'd put him in a movie.
I think he could and should be in a movie. Yeah, this is the third race that they've had pit stop issues. It was a loose wheel nut from the car. But it's always him. It's always Valtteri and the wheel gun causing a problem for him.
Well, yeah, Valtteri's not causing the problem with the wheel gun. He's in the car. He's not touching the wheel gun.
Right.
They got to get a better wheel gun guy.
It's always to him, and it feels bad. Sad to watch.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, let me go through some of my other notes and stop me when you hear something you want to talk about. Number one, I already talked about it. I was spoiled. Number two, we already talked about the Red Bull started smoking. Max's Red Bull started smoking, and everybody in the world
applauded.
Went into an uproarious applause. It was like the end of Return of the Jedi when you see all the Ewoks singing and dancing.
What's that song again?
Yub Nub.
Nope. Yeah, that sure is it.
All right, here's my next note. Carlos!
Just that?
That's the note. Look, listener, you're a casual fan. If you need to know what happened, what's been going on with Carlos Sainz. First of all, lost his job.
Lost his job. Doesn't have one.
Doesn't have a job next year. Then appendicitis days before the race. They have to put in an 18-year-old Ollie Bear man in his car. He drives really well. Carlos, the day after surgery, is like, I have to get to the track. I need them to know I can get in the car again. Otherwise, I have to. This kid did well.
Yeah, he's limping. Limping through the paddock, bandaged.
He looked real bad last race, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This race comes along. He overtakes Max on the track. Sure, there was a problem with the car, but we didn't know that at the time.
We didn't know it, and it looked stunning. It caught everyone off guard.
It caught Crofty and Brundle off guard. They're like, and Carlos Sainz!
It came out of nowhere.
He just took the lead of the race.
Yeah. It was beautiful. He got into that car a mere 16 days after having surgery. He has
still
a little bandage on his stomach.
Still bandaged.
In pain.
The race ends and he gingerly gets out of the car. Like, cannot bend over.
Lando had to help him onto the top.
No one helped him. I noticed
Lando helped him onto the top step of the podium, which was very cute.
But no one helped him out of the car.
I wonder if that's illegal. Because you know how you, like, can't touch things in Parc Fermé?
What happened that I noticed was he got out of the car. One of the FIA people tried to quickly usher him to the scale, which they have to do as soon as they get out of the car. And he's like, fuck this. I'm taking my gloves off. I'm throwing the gloves into the crowd. I am going immediately to my team, and I'm celebrating with them.
As is his right. And then Crofty or Martin was like, oh, you know, they could probably slip something into his pocket, give him a little extra weight. And then they were like, oh, he doesn't have pockets. Never mind.
Then they go find his gloves for him, give him back. Yeah. He gets weighed in. It's all fine. But I really liked how he was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm celebrating with my team. And how,
it was
and
great.
How
his
much,
dad was there.
His dad first was time there. His gave dad, his dad a big hug.
First time his dad saw him win a race, I think, in person.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Look, you know, since I started watching F1, I've only seen three people win races. Max Verstappen, Sergio
Perez. That can't
Perez,
be true. That can't
be true.
Carlos
Sainz.
George that Russell? Did George Russell win
George
a race?
George Russell won one race. But Carlos
Esteban
Sainz has
Ocon?
Won three.
No.
Did Ocon win? No.
Ocon has won one, but it might have been a previous season.
Race I think I remember winners, him winning like a shootout maybe last season.
You
I don't think
watching...
he won a Grand Prix.
Okay.
I started watching Miami 2022.
Wow. 2022, Miami. After
was
that.
Max.
Oh, Charles won one.
I saw Charles win a race.
Yeah. Wow. Charles and George Russell, Sergio Perez, and Carlos
okay.
Sainz.
Okay. All right. So then what I just said isn't true. I lied.
But it's close. I mean, last year, for sure.
Look, it's a lot like the Bene Gesserit and how they tell their story for centuries. You tell the story for so long that it becomes truth. And in my mind, the story that I've been telling myself is I've only seen Max Verstappen win races and Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz is the one that always stands out the most to me. I'm always excited to see it.
Because he's the only person that has beat Max in a race for 20 races.
Hell yeah,
He beat Max's here. He stopped Max's streak after his 11 race streak.
Stopped Max his has, streak now today then, this past weekend.
10 race win streak. He stopped this weekend. It's great. It's beautiful. Another fact I learned about Carlos winning a race is every single race that he has won, George has DNF'd on the last lap.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy to get like two great gifts on one day, you know?
Yeah. What a time that was. That was a wild crash.
It was a wild crash. I still want to talk a little bit about Carlos.
Of course.
One of my favorite things when Carlos wins, when any Ferrari wins in any race. And we get to see the pit crew sing the Italian national anthem, full-chested.
Yeah.
And Carlos was standing up there watching them, smile, biggest grin on his face, pumping his fist. Didn't move at all for the Spanish national anthem. The Italian anthem kicks in. He's like andiamo, ragazzi, andiamo.
He's like, this is my team. Also
and
on
it,
the podium.
And it kind of bums me out that he's leaving the team.
Yeah.
He's a Ferrari boy.
I'm also bummed. He's so good.
But
I've always said it.
Like, is it too late to boot Charles, keep Carlos?
I mean, technically, probably. I can't imagine
that.
Charles
hasn't won a race in 2 years.
That's true. I can't imagine them like canceling his contract extension, but who knows? Who knows?
When you have a weekend like this.
When you have a weekend like this.
And you're like, hey, I'll drive for any team. Well, I hope. I hope they put him in a competitive car. I don't want to see him at Haas.
I think he's got a lot of offers at the. So one thing I wanted to talk about was when at the end of the race, the radio message, he was like, tell Charles to come close to me and we'll celebrate this one together.
That also, man, Carlos is great.
They're so cute.
He loves the team.
They're so cute. And then Charles went up to him when he was still in the car. And he I think Charles shook his little head when he was still in the car. And then Carlos patted him on the head when he bent over. It's very endearing. The podium, all my favorite little guys.
And Lando's up there too. Carlos's best buddy.
His two. And then at the conference, he referred to them as his two favorite teammates. Max Verstappen found dead. but also at the conference, they asked Lando and Charles if they what they thought about people saying Carlos was an underrated driver. And they were both they heaped compliments on him for 5 minutes straight. And he was just sitting there looking down at his lap. It was really cute. And then he was like, I agree with my two favorite teammates.
Carlos Sainz, we love
great
him.
Weekend for
everyone
me.
Loves him. How do you not love
great
Carlos?
Weekend for he?
Great weekend for we. Great weekend for he. All right. My next note: Alpine racing against Haas like it's an improvement. Damn, what a fall off.
Which I do. Yeah, I feel like we
bring
touched
back
on a little
Otmar.
Bit. Yeah, I miss Otmar. There was a period during the race where Gasly was up in sixth place, which felt impressive because he did start pretty far back, but that didn't stick.
No.
They pointed it out on the broadcast. They were like, oh, and Gasly's up into sixth place. I was like, wow, expected more.
No race pace, as they say.
Well, also Ocon had a tear off.
I remember
issue.
That.
Also, something that I didn't write down, but I'm just noticing all of the bottom 10, 10th through 17th or 16th or whatever, got lapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Iconic of Carlos.
Yeah. Not only is he going to win, he's going to win twice.
Yeah, that's a Max Verstappen-esque stat.
Yes, yes, yes. I loved him driving around in the car saying, I'm really feeling it. The car feels good.
He was like, let's extend this and get out ahead while everyone else is pitting. Everyone else is reacting to the undercut. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay out.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's on old tires. He's worried if he's going to be able to hold the lead, if Charles is going to catch him. We're on the last lap. There's drama building. And then George Russell drives into a wall.
And flips his car onto its side.
Flips the car. It's a scary flip. He was fine, but he wasn't stuck in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
Kind of unable to move.
Unable to see anyone that would have been coming towards him. And I don't know, did you hear his radio message?
I heard
the
radio message where he kept yelling red flag which, over and over again, which is a little scary.
Yeah, but I'm like, do you really need to red flag that? Can't you just do a full course yellow?
Well, they did. And it
I thought they did
was fine.
Only that sector.
Well, I know they brought I thought I remember saying safety car, and so my thought was they're just going to do this lap under a safety car and that'll be it. So they immediately wasn't coming barreling around the turn.
I think Lance was. There was a shot of someone that was kind of close to hitting him. Which is maybe what made me think it was right after the safety car was called. And that's what made me think that it wasn't like a full yellow. It was just one sector was yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't, if they had red, I would have been so mad if they had red flagged it. But I guess they wouldn't have been able to restart. It would have just been like, and now we're finishing.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think they would have read on the last lap. It really seemed to me like they were like, let's just get the cars.
Yeah.
Slowly move around George. And then that's the end of the race.
Yeah. I just didn't like George's reaction. I was like, this is a little much. I get. Yeah. I but get that's what the concern.
All George does is a little much.
Yes, 100%.
Next up, speaking of George, I have a note here. Both George Russell and Lewis Hamilton calling the Red Bull as it speeds away from them a rocket ship. There are two separate instances.
Yeah.
Where Lewis is like, that car's a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then George is later in the race, laps later, saying, the Red Bull, man, it's too fast. And I bet Toto loves getting these messages.
Yeah. There was also, I mean, Hamilton, we haven't really talked about, also DNF'd, which was devastating. It really.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened.
Engine failure.
That was really interesting to see that Lewis and Max were not in the race.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine that happening?
I can.
2021.
Yeah, but it did a lot.
Well, I didn't watch. So.
I know, but that was my exact reaction. Like when I got home and looked at my TV and it was like Max and Hamilton out. I was like, "Holy fuck, they crashed! We're so back." I was so excited, and then I was like, "Oh no!" But it was really a minor thing. But
yeah, and yeah, so there was a problem with the car that seemed like there was a problem. Oh, I'm talking about Red Bull now. It seemed like there was a problem all weekend. Max didn't like the car at all, and then
yeah.
There's this failure, and then the interviews with him and the disgraceful Christian Horner after the race, they seemed very nonchalant about it. Like, hey, you know, it's been 2 years since we had a failure with the car. And we're going to fix this and win every race for the rest of the season because this is embarrassing and we need to punish everybody now.
Yeah, I think this power unit that caused the fire on Max's car was a brand new power unit. And I like mm-hmm. that because I feel like that probably means he's going to have to take a penalty later in the year when he needs to have a replacement. Mm. So that's always good to see. Yeah. But yeah, Max seemed like a little mad and then quickly over it and was like,
yeah,
whatever.
He's still in first place.
Yeah. And then
Hamilton, three races into the season, didn't finish one of them, still in first place.
Hamilton, like just watching him try to drive that car has been kind of upsetting because it's so clearly not him. It's like,
yeah,
he just like it. He can't get control of it, which is so wild. It. Yeah.
He's so
you can just like see when his steering wheel does like a full jerk because he
and I'm
like,
sure watching those Ferraris.
Mm hmm.
He's in that
checked out. Yeah,
he's in that piece of shit Mercedes. Like, oh, put me in that car. Put me in that car, please. Put me in that car.
I feel really bad for him.
I feel bad for him. I don't feel really bad because he's going to Ferrari. Like he's leaving that situation. Yeah. I feel bad for Toto. Like,
yeah, but I also
they're only going further and further down.
Yeah, but I do think that now it'll be interesting to see what he does now, knowing that he like doesn't really have to take Lewis's advice mm-hmm. on things, and he can like plan for George. I don't know. That might be weird.
Planning for George. This feels like like a Game of Thrones sort of thing where mm-hmm. it's like we have a new, you know, king coming. It's George Russell. We need to, you know, set the table for George.
What season of Game of Thrones is this?
Well, I imagine George being like a Joffrey sort of
right.
guy.
Yeah.
Like this proper little kid. Sure, he's like almost 30, if I had to guess. But he's got the energy of like a like, now I'm the prince.
I'm going to guess George Russell's 26.
27 is
what was my guess. I was right. 26. February 15th, 1998.
Oh, wow. He just turned 26. Okay. Mercedes.
It's rough to watch. No points.
It's rough to watch. But you know what's not rough to watch? Watching the McLarens and the Ferraris.
Yeah.
I loved watching Oscar and Lando being like, hey, Max is out. Checo's behind us. Let's get the Ferraris.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
It was.
I'm watching this race like, wow, will they catch them? Do yeah. they have it?
And like even when Carlos like, first overtook Max and Lando was behind him, then it was like, is he going to sort of pull Lando along so that mm-hmm. he has more distance between him and Charles so he doesn't have to worry about his teammate catching him? I was like, this is what I like to see. This is interesting.
Yes. Yes. And after the race, I was watching Lando in an interview talking about how if they would have pitted a little earlier, he thinks he would have caught Charles and would have taken second.
Yeah.
And that's great. I want to see teams battling for the top spots, not just for 14th place. I don't want to just be watching a battle for 14th every week.
Yeah, no. I want to
see a battle at the top, you know? And that's what we got. And man, what a weekend, you know? I get to go see Singing in the Rain with my friends. I get to watch a great race. I get to see Dune Part 2 again.
I got to see the movie Femme. Got to see George MacKay in the flesh. And Nathan Stewart Jarrett, but I've seen him on stage before. And then I got to watch this race.
You went and saw the Jeremy Strong play, right?
I did. First
How
preview.
Was that?
I had a great time. Here's Casey.
Yeah.
I pulled the greatest scheme of all time to see this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll just say.
Okay.
I was like, hey, I'll go to first preview, like the first performance. I know that they are selling standing room tickets, but they're lottering them off through the lottery. And I didn't mm-hmm. win the lottery. So I was like, I'll just go. I'll see if they had any like extras. Maybe someone didn't take one. I go to the box office. I'm like, hey, do you have any standing room tickets? And they're like, we do. Hold on a second. And the box office person's like, type, 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 type. And then is like, I could give you a seat in row C for the same price, $39. But there's little leg room sort of thing. And I was like, well, I'll have my backpack with me. So probably we should just do standing room. And then they were like, 1 second. And I went behind a wall. And then they came back a minute later and they were like, because you're one person, we can give you the floor seats, the front row, for the same price. There's one seat available. Those seats,
wow.
Retail price, $419.
Wow.
And I got one for $39. And I rolled up to that play. And I was sitting in the front and Jeremy Strong was right in front of me. Michael Imperioli yelling up a storm. I had a great time.
That's why you got to go out alone, folks.
That's why you got to go. I didn't tell any of my friends that I was doing this. I just showed up.
You got to be
and
a seat
after,
filler.
Yeah. I was like, I pulled a heist. It is maybe my biggest cheap theater seat accomplishment yet. It's really, really huge.
I got a question because there were clips going around a couple weeks ago, you know, there were protests at that performance. Was that part of the show?
No, but they definitely, I know that I have the inside scoop that they timed it accordingly. Like someone in that group had already seen the show multiple times, I guess, to figure out when to do that. And they timed it during a portion right after the 8-minute pause that is not an intermission, where they're like shifting the stage into a bar and people can like go up and get drinks at the bar. And then after that scene or like the pause, they have a town hall meeting. So I think like basically they interrupted at the point where they're like, does anyone have anything they want to talk about sort of thing? Which
so they were very theatrical about it.
Yeah. And definitely like everyone stayed in character, which I guess was a choice that they all made themselves.
What I would see in the clips, and I saw people get mad at Michael Imperioli.
Yeah.
But he was clearly in character. I don't know what this play is about, but it...
the play is about a doctor that's like, hey guys, just a heads up, there's bacteria in the spa that you're about to open, so maybe you shouldn't open it for like health concerns. And they're like, well, we hear you, but we kind of need to open it, so we're just not going to tell anybody. And you understand, right? And he's like, I mean, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. I have the papers, and I'm going to tell everyone. And they're like, well, we're not going to let you do that. So it's basically the story of the pandemic and everything. And yeah, Michael Imperioli is like his brother that is the mayor and is like, well, we kind of need to do this. And I'm sorry, but
yeah.
So very, the vibe is great. Had a great time.
It's I've never been to a play. I've been to a couple Broadway musicals, and you can imagine what my notes are.
But you did like Bat Boy.
I did like Bat Boy. I was pretty young, but I always loved, me and my mom always loved the Bat Boy Weekly World News in the grocery store anytime Bat Boy was on the cover. And we were in New York, and she's like, there's a Bat Boy musical. And
it's crazy you saw Bat Boy.
And I remember, the only thing I remember is, hold me, Bat Boy. Touch me, Bat Boy. It's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, plays back to good. Formula One.
Plays are good, man. That's all I
would
can
go
say.
See the... I want to... You know, I'm not in New York very often, and I don't want to go see a play in L.A.
Sometimes they're good. There's some good plays.
I guess, but...
I'll let you know when there's a good play happening.
Okay. All right. But I want to see Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fair. I want to see Jeremy Strong is so fucking funny in this show. He's so good. It's crazy.
maybe I'll see that one. Maybe I'll pull a Marika and... Go to New York and
highly recommend pulling America. Yeah, do it.
Anyway, back to Formula One. My next note I have here: Leclerc, Checo, Alonso battle. Cool. I liked seeing these guys. They were battling for a couple laps, and
yeah,
that's fun.
That was that after Charles came out of the pits.
I don't remember when it was after, but I took the note after I wrote McLaren trying to chase Ferrari. This is exciting.
Mm. Yeah, I can't remember at what point that was in the race, but I like when someone gets to battle Red Bull. It's nice. And they actually like battle Red Bull with the intention of actually fighting them, because so often if one of them is behind someone, they're just like, our fight's not with them. We got to let them pass and just... plow through the field, and that's boring.
Yeah.
So I like when they get to fight. Also with the McLarens, I liked how they handled the Oscar and Norris position switch.
It happened quick. Oscar was a good teammate.
Yeah, and it was also like very, I think they had talked about it before the race, like it seemed very planned and like everyone was okay with it. I'm sure the Australian fans and the crowd watching that happen were not happy. But
oh yeah.
Hey, he came in fourth. That's good. You gotta respect it. You gotta respect it.
He'll
get up there one day.
I think he will soon. He's like, this is his second season, and he's like coming in like fourth, fifth, sixth, like regularly. He's like right there. I love the guy, the Maldib of McLaren, Oscar Piastri. I only have one more note. Gunther giving post-race interviews.
He really did. That was crazy.
I don't think that's the job for him.
I don't either. I really don't. They were way too long.
They couldn't hear him.
They could not hear him.
There's a question he asked, I want to say, Charles, and Charles was like blankly looking at him. He's like, what'd you say?
Yeah. It's a really good reaction image. He asked people if they were going to remove their appendix. That was a big question of the weekend. A lot of people were asking that.
I think Gunther would be best served as a, you know, on the commentary team, not necessarily during the race, but, you know, when all our favorite faces walking around the paddock talking about the weekend. Throw Gunther in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like have him do a special segment. I don't think he should do the grid walk, and I don't think he should do post-race interviews.
No. He needs to be
media trained.
Yeah. Like it's fun to watch him, but you got to learn how to cut like,
yeah.
You have an internal clock.
Yeah.
Know like when 2 minutes is up and wrap it up.
Also, the cool down room, just a great moment, as they say, a guest host of the Max Verstappen podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We love to see it. I like how Charles was like giggling when he saw Max's car explode. That was really fun. I liked that Lando like fully moved his seat to be closer to them. That was cute. They're just all good. They're all good, and I like all of them. Also, there was a champagne cam for this one. Did you see that?
I didn't notice the champagne. I was probably looking away.
There was a champagne cam.
The race ended at like 2 a.m. I was ready to go to bed. And then I watched like the post-race stuff the next day.
This champagne cam wasn't as good as I think it might have been Silverstone for Carlos.
Eyes bugging out of his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That was really cute.
Well, here on the Pit Wall, when we watch something, we rate it. If we like it, it's a push-push. If we don't like it, it's a box-box. Marika. We're pushing.
Yeah, it's
shove, a push. Shove.
We're shove shoving. We're so back. Races are
great.
Good to
I needed
watch,
this
actually.
Because I was ready to. I was ready to have an existential spiral on this episode if it was going to be the same thing again.
Yeah, yeah.
I was ready to
be
like, "What are we doing?
What's the point of anything?" What a thrill.
Thrilling race. Love to see it. Japan is next. That's crazy because since I've started watching, it's been like in the fall.
Late. Yeah. 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 We've got
a series
of. I assume
it's like a weather thing. Like, is the weather better maybe around this time of year?
That's a good question.
Because the last two races in Japan were wet.
Yes. And Singapore is usually around the same time as Japan, and that is usually really hot. Mm-hmm. I think that they also made a concerted effort this year to stop a lot of like far travel. Like they weren't going to send people from like Australia to like Miami sort of thing. They're trying to keep things more.
Yeah,
close.
Which makes obvious sense. I remember last year they went from Australia to Miami, and it was like, are they out of their minds?
Yeah, so
they're going from Australia to Miami to you know, somewhere in Europe. I can't remember where they went after Miami, but it was like, just like, go to the next closest place.
Yeah. So I do think that's part of it. Apparently Yuki's got a surprise for Japan. Something's happening to Yuki. People are suspecting maybe he's going to drive a Red Bull in like a free practice or something. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. I'll keep my eye out.
There you go.
Hottie of the week. Carlos Sainz.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Ultimately, I did kind of want to give Lando a special shout because he did a chicken shop date and I thought it was really cute.
Yep. Yep. Lando was on the chicken shop date and I've never watched a full episode. I see it. I consume that through clips on TikTok.
And it's edited to be like that.
Yeah.
Do you like, sure. You know, if you watch the full one, it's just short little snippets and then like a weird interstitial of like someone cooking the chicken or like doing something in a shop. And then it's like another, which I only learned recently. Yeah. It's very strange. And they're only like 8 minutes long.
But they do really well. This is interesting. We'll have another meeting about this.
What's our version of chicken shop date?
We could figure that out. once you know the formula.
Yeah.
It
was really cute.
Yeah, I seeing the what clips I did see of it. I was very curious how many people that watch that actually know who he is.
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't imagine. I mean, they go viral so often that I feel like it probably introduced a lot of people to him.
Yeah, I saw a lot of comments before it came out and they were like teasing it on TikTok. A lot of comments in the comment sections being like leaving a comment so everyone knows that I was a Lando girly before the chicken shop date.
Oh, wow. So that's so real. But ultimately it's Carlos.
Ultimately it's Carlos. No one hotter.
It's kind of maybe it's Carlando. I don't know how to combine the two names. It's C2, it's Charles and Carlos, but also Carlando as one unit or hottie of the week.
Charlando.
There you go.
There you go. Charlando. Mm-hmm. Hottie of the week. Little bitch of the day for me, it's Christian Horner. Saw him after the race talking about the car. No mention at all about the scandal. It really seems like they have just, hey, we think we're in the clear. Let's just move on. And I think that sucks. I think that sucks and it's gross.
It really sucks.
So he's the biggest little bitch that there is. If there's any race guys, let's see. I think we're gonna say the same. Sure, on count of three.
Yeah. I don't want to give it to one. Logan Sargeant.
Logan Sargeant.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it to him.
No, he was too mean.
He wasn't took it on the chin.
Yeah.
It sucks. That's it sucks. It sucks. It's lame.
It sucks.
But he wasn't a little bitch about it, so.
Yeah.
Therefore, he cannot be.
Yes, very true. I'd like maybe give it to Daniel Ricciardo. but I feel like I had another idea for who I was going to make it. It's in perpetuity Christian Horner, for sure.
Yeah.
Little bitch of the year, 100%.
Yeah.
It's a tie between Russell and the little bitch of the week is Carlos's appendix. That's what it was.
Interesting, because I think I think without the appendix.
It's the hero.
Yeah, like it's another layer of the Carlos's hero story this race.
Sure, but I'm thinking of it as like that is the hardship he had to overcome. Like
yes.
that little organ that he got removed was just like the worst thing ever, and he got through it, and this is what he accomplished, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's his villain for his hero's journey.
Yes. Yes. All right. You're on notice. Carlos's appendix, which doesn't even exist anymore.
He's gone now.
What do they do? They like, what do they do with the?
I don't know. Someone gave him I hope so. Someone gave him a little appendix keychain.
That's cute.
It was cute. Had a little face on it.
That's really nice.
To always remember it.
Fantasy standings. Okay.
Yeah.
Hit me. Where at? What's up?
Well, Casey, you're in last place in our league. First place. No one ever saw this coming. It's the United Colors of Jeffaton.
Oh my god, I have to change my lineup. We cannot let this
within
happen.
Almost 100-point lead.
Oh my god.
Well, all right, 540
I'm gonna lock in.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I won last season. What left is there to prove is what I'm
fair
saying.
Enough. Pyle's still in second.
But now I can't let Jeff be the new.
It's really devastating. And I went hard on Red Bull this week in my lineup, so that was my downfall. But I had Ferrari, the team, so that kind of saved me, and I had Haas, the team. Pyle's second, I'm third, you're fourth. And then I assume there's also been some big shakeups in the public lead. First place is Cargo Fastest. Second place, Scalderia Ferchari. Third place is Brandade. Fourth place, Pirelli's Pancakes. Fifth place, Best in Slot. Sixth, Mode Push Me to My Limits. Seventh, The Haas of Horrors. Eighth, Visa Cash App Wild Whiskers. Ninth, Stroll Pole. And 10th, Creamers. Creamers usually up there, I feel like. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Creamers knows their stuff.
Everybody listen to Creamers, ultimately. Follow their lead.
Look what Creamers is doing.
They got 10th this week, but who knows?
But perennially.
Yeah.
They're up there.
Yeah.
Change your lineups, guys. Don't be like me. Don't be like me and... live your life.
Yeah.
Make sure you take time out of your day to look at your phone and take Alpine out of your lineup. Follow us on Instagram at PitWallPod and TikTok. Send us questions. Send us a quick cue. Slide into the DMs on Instagram. Questions about Formula One. Questions about Dune.
Questions about Singing in the Rain.
Questions about Singing in the Rain. We'll answer them all. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple. And next week, there's no race, but we'll be back talking about Drive to Survive, episodes 5 and 6. I haven't seen them. I don't know what they're
me
about.
Neither.
Don't know. I had to guess Mercedes episode, and then maybe an Alpine.
We know Ryan Reynolds shows up somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's Alpine, and then we see Ryan Reynolds look at the camera and be like, "Finally, I'm here."
We got to gear up for Deadpool 3.
We got to gear up for Deadpool 3.
I was really hoping the Doughboys were going to walk in at that moment.
No, they're not. They got like another hour or so till they're here, which gives me time to write down some more notes about Dune. Tune in next week for Drive to Survive. Until then, vroom vroom to all a beep beep. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Original.